your friend!
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio! You better all listen!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
That's Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Boom. All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black Jeans, out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is Thursday, March 29th, 2012. It is one day after my birthday. I turned 34 yesterday. Thanks, everybody, for the shout-outs. I appreciate it. So we got another show online, and going to have Jay Christ on tonight, and that's pretty awesome. CZW Wire champion, and tons of stuff to go over. I'm going to be previewing a lot of stuff tonight just because, man, this is a huge, huge weekend for wrestling. I mean, it starts tonight, and I – trying to finagle something and, you know, try to work something where people were going to shoot me updates and more or less, you know, some live results and stuff like that. But I don't think it's going to happen. People are down there having a great time in Florida. They got a Dragon Gate show tonight that's not taped. And then, tomorrow they got an iPay-per-view, and Saturday they got an iPay-per-view, and of course Sunday's WrestleMania. So, man, the amount I'm going to have to talk about and go over next week is bananas. But either way, before I go any further, I definitely want to put on my guest for tonight, and that is CZW Wire champion Jake Christ.
How's it going?
Hey, Jake, what's going on, man?
Oh, just chilling on my way home from the hospital. Just got done seeing my brand new nephew. Two days old.
Cool, man. Cool. Wanted to get you on. You know, talk about your career and everything else. Figure we'll start at the beginning. You know, when did you get started? And you know, how did you get started with training and everything?
Well, I got started 10 years ago. I had my first professional wrestling match at the Pickwick Fishing Games here in Ohio, and in a jam-packed crowd of 30 people. So it was fun, you know. I pretty much got started. I was lucky. My brother actually built a ring in welding class. And a bunch of buddies of ours got together and helped them bot the metal. And then next one thing led to another. We were on a local news channel, And then our trainer to be actually seen the broadcast, and a guy named Derek Cooper, he his mom went to the same church as he went to, and then, you know, one thing led to another. He started training us, and 2 years later, had my first match in Piqua. Actually worked my trainer, so it was pretty fun.
Wow.
Good time.
So, I mean, coming up with your brother, I mean, was that easier or more difficult to come up? Because, you know, I mean, you obviously had someone to work through everything, you know, as both of you learned together. Well, did that make it easier or harder because you were trying to outdo each other? Or how did that go?
I would say, like, me and Dave, we are really, really competitive, as I'm sure a lot of people know, as we're getting ready to wrestle for the CZW Wire title on April 14th in Voorhees, New Jersey. So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of difficult because we always did try to outdo each other and, you know, which one was the best. That was the biggest question going through, you know, our schooling. So it had its ups and downs. It definitely had its perks. And like I said, I mean, you know, we're just really, really competitive. Dustin Reyes actually came up with us as well. It was actually in his place that we trained and everything. So, I mean, it was kind of the three of us, and all three of us were really, really competitive. So, like I said, I mean, it definitely had its perks and definitely had its downside as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. Me myself, I have a... I have 2-year-old twin girls, and they definitely learn a lot really quick from each other, but they definitely go to war on a regular basis, so I can only imagine.
Yeah, me and Dave, we are definitely no strangers to fighting each other, so it's going to lead to a pretty exciting matchup, I believe, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to actually kicking his ass, so...
Now, there's a lot of different places you've been. You guys have worked a whole lot of places, but the first place I actually saw you guys was a match in Ring of Honor years ago, and I believe that was the first shot that you guys had there. How did the two different times you going to Ring of Honor go? I know it was two different bookers, owners, the whole thing was different, but how'd that go?
Which time would you like to talk about? The first time, our first extent was the Ring of, you know, my first extent with Ring of Honor was it was really great. I mean, I loved Gabe's booking. You know, it always seemed like he had a direction and you know, where he wanted to go. You know, it was just I didn't appreciate it at the time because I was you know, too young and dumb and didn't realize exactly what I was doing. And my daughter, you know, I missed a lot of things, you know, that's being on the road kind of sucked for me a little bit. But, you know, like I didn't appreciate it. I didn't take time to, you know, like see the sights, you know, like my first time at on the East Coast. I mean, like we went and seen the sights then, but I mean, other than that, like we just were kind of in and out, you know, if that makes sense, like in the city. So I wish I could have, looking back at it, I wish I could step back and take the time to go see, you know, the sights and see what I, you know, what I missed, rather than just going there, wrestling, you know, flying home or traveling home, and then, you know, I always try to get home as quick as I could because I miss my girl, so.
So you think it was just overall bad timing?
Yeah, I was, you know, we were really green, too. So, I mean, like, knowing what I know now, I would have done things completely different. But I think what really messed us up was Dave's knee injury. You know, so that actually, he had to get surgery on his ACL, MCL, and he had a torn meniscus. So, I mean, he completely blew his knee out. And, you know, that was just completely bad timing, but, I mean, things happen for a reason, so. But the second time was absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
Completely horrible. We come back from Dave's knee injury, you know, fresh look, new gear, you know, whole nine yards, fresh new attitudes,
yeah.
And it was just the booking was, to me, was just awful. I mean, like, it had like the main angles and stuff, that was good, you know, but
Pierce was booking?
Right. Everything other than that, like, it didn't seem like he had direction. Like, Gabe had, like, and that's why I like Gabe's stuff so much better, is because, like, he had everything that he wanted to do versus Pierce, you know, we'd go to a town, like, say, three times, and out of one time we'd be, you know, babies, the next time we'd be hills. So, I mean, it was, you can't get over in a crowd like that.
True.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not saying, you know, it was completely his fault. It could have been ours, but, I mean, to me, it's not smart to put somebody as a baby, then turn them, he'll actually not even really turn them, just as when we come back to the town, we're hill, and then we come back the third time, and we're babies. So, I mean, you can't really do much with that, you know. So the crowd kind of, you know, was like, who do these guys think they are? They're good one time, they're bad one time, now they're good again. Like, what's going on here? So, I mean, but I understand our position at the time, too. We're just kind of, you know, the plug-in tag team, so. Which is, like I said, it's all good, too. But the facts are the facts, and it was just completely awful. We'd be booked for, you know, X amount of dates and then only do, like, maybe 1% of those bookings, you know. So it was really, really awful from, you know, top to bottom, my experience. It was just, and it wasn't like he'd email and be like, you know, I need you for, like, 30 dates. You know, are you good for these dates? You're like, yeah, we're good for them. We're good. We'll be there. Okay, cool. And then it got to the point where it's like we'd have to look at the website to see if we were advertised, to see if we were booked. And it was like, hey, you know, 3 days before the show, we're not advertised. What's going on here? Oh, I had you booked? I can forward you the emails that you sent to me booking me.
And
so,
I'm sure you could lose a lot of bookings that way too, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, you can't find good, steady work when you're, you know, expecting to be at a Ring of Honor show and then 3 days before the event, you find out you're not on the show. So, I mean, you can't, how am I supposed to feed my family like that? You can't. You know what I mean? So it's, you'd have to pick up a booking, you know, sometimes you want it, like, it's like, oh, well, now I guess I got this weekend off.
Wow,
I mean, it was just really awful. And like I said, I mean, I guess it could fall on us, but, you know, who knows?
Right.
Things happen for a reason.
Yeah. Another place you had worked, you know, quite often, as I had, you know, done a little, you know, research and seen a few things over the years, is your name got more and more, you know, out there, and you look back and, you know, where are these guys working, like, you know, where are these guys been, and you've done a lot of stuff with IPW, and how did you get in there, and how did that whole thing get going?
After about a year and a half of doing different indies, around the Dayton, Ohio area, we finally got hooked up with Dean the Dream Jablonski, which is an old HWA guy, and he booked, like, he got to wrestle Dave on a Dayton show, and then he liked Dave's work, and he says, hey man, I can get you booked for this place called WWW, which is like Worldwide Wrestling or something like that. Forget exactly
right.
what it was. But, you know, he brought me, we wrestled each other, we had a really good match, and Cody Hawk, at the time, he owned HWA. So then we got into HWA, that's when we started, you know, training with guys like Nigel and Matt Stryker, you know, the big name HWA guys, and they would bring in just different talent around, you know, whoever would want to come in on a Tuesday, they'd bring in, and they brought in a whole bunch of Indiana guys. And at the time, this guy named Hillbilly Jed wrestled for HWA, and he was the, like, he helped out with IPW. He told Mike Williams, says, hey, man, you need to book these kids. They're awesome. You know, one thing led to another. We traveled. Like, that was our first time ever out of the state of Ohio was working for IPW. And we
right.
traveled, I think it was like 4.5 hours to Martinsville, Indiana, and at an armory. And that was the first time we met, like, Drake and those guys, which was pretty fun, too. So as, that was probably, I'd say, a good 8 years ago. So.
Wow. Yeah, so you've been working there about 8 years, huh?
Yeah, I've been steady there for 8 years.
Good stuff.
You know, like I said, man, IPW has always done my brother and I right. And, you know, if it wasn't for Hillbilly Dread, you know, opening the door for us at IPW, who knows, you know, where myself and my brother would have landed. I mean, eventually we probably would have, you know, made it other places, but I like to thank Mike for giving us the opportunity is, you know, just off hearsay on booking us. So that was big kudos to Mike on that.
Definitely. Well, CZW, you know, what came about to you getting into CZW?
That's all due to, you know, Drake and Sammy and John Moxley, actually. Those guys put in a really good word for me. You know, like, I was actually toying with the idea of stop traveling with wrestling and just doing you know, local indies around the Dayton area. Like, I had such a bad taste in my mouth with Ring of Honor and stuff, so I was just kind of like, I was actually looking to become a firefighter, and I, best of the best last year, actually saved my career. And if it wasn't for, you know, Sammy, Drake, and Mox, like, I don't think DJ would have even booked me. So, like, he saw my stuff. He knew the stuff I did prior, but it was really those guys' words. It was word of mouth that actually, you know, got me in. And me and Drake actually, you know, traveled together up there. It was
right.
Really, really fun. Real fun road trip. It was just the two of us. I felt like we really bonded, you know, on that road trip. You know, we'd talk in the locker rooms, we're boys and stuff like that. That trip, I think, really, you know, solidified us, you know, like, our bond for one another. And like I said, man, I went in best of best. Like, hey, if I don't get a job with CZW, I'm just gonna, you know, not stop wrestling, just slow down and
keep it local.
I'm gonna keep it local and try my hand at becoming a firefighter. I was actually toying with the idea of just, you know, eventually you'd have to quit, but, you know, just doing local indies around here, like HWA and stuff like that. But I mean, other than that, you know, it was all or nothing for me. And I was like, you know, I got to impress. And, you know, I was put in a really good position to, I mean, I worked, you know, Sammy, which I'm real, me and Sammy go way back. We're really good friends. You know, I wrestled Sammy, wrestled A.R. Fox, which I wrestled him at an IPW event prior. So I kind of knew what he was about. And then the second night, and man, I got to work John Moxley. So it was like,
yeah.
You know, if I fail, it's because of me. You know, and like I said, I went in there, you know, in the full intentions of getting a job with CZW. And,
right.
And hopefully, you know, one thing led to another, and here we are right now.
Yeah.
But
obviously,
I will say this. Oh, go ahead.
Obviously, they liked your, you know, what you put out because you are still there and, you know, you're holding the title and everything else. What was your thoughts leaving those, you know, that weekend there? What did you think about your performance and, you know, the way you're received and all of that?
I think I killed it, you know, like once I got into the car, you know, after the second night, there wasn't a doubt in my mind. I'm like, you know, I killed it. I killed it both nights, you know. It was just, to me, you know, like I said, I mean, wrestling, you never know what's going to happen. You never know, like, what the deal is, you know. So it was like, I hope I hear something back, you know. And like I said, I mean, I really felt that I killed it, you know. That's kind of like me and Sammy and, you know, a couple other close friends of ours, like, hey, man, you kill it, you know, you kill it,
yeah.
You know. It's exactly what it sounds, you know. So, I mean, I felt like we killed it, you know, and I couldn't have asked for a better spot to be put in with you know, guys like A.R. Fox, Sammy, and John. You know, I know John like the back of my hand when it comes to wrestling and stuff. So, I mean, he came up with HWA and stuff like that, and we were there at the time, and actually I've had some of his very, very first matches. So, I couldn't have been happier with the position that I was put in. So, like I said, I mean, it was all or nothing.
Yeah.
That's the exact mindset I had, was all or nothing, you know.
Yeah. Now, I mean, coming not that long after that, you had your June match with Sammy Callahan, which other than, you know, the big tables, ladders, and chairs match that Drake and Scotty put on the main event, I mean, you guys stole the show. And how did you feel about that match?
Man, it was awesome, man. I like, to me, like, best of the best. You know, it was, you know, I worked in the arena before, you know, with Ring of Honor. You know, I did, we did our Do or Die in Ring of Honor stuff. We ended up getting a, you know, a little spot with Ring of Honor for, you know, years and years. And wrestling, you know, Sammy at the arena and actually, you know, having a pretty decent match, I was just like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you get to wrestle one of your best friends, you know, in a historic ECW arena, you know, and it was like, you know, every time I step in CZW ring, it's like, you know, I gotta kill it, you know, I gotta have the best match on the show, you know, and that's not just CZW, but, you know, mostly, you know, like, every time I step in the ring, I have that mindset, but, especially in CZW, because, I mean, I got more press off of CZW and, you know, stuff like than I have anywhere that I've been, you know. So, like, and having a good match with Sammy just, I think, kind of solidified my spot in CZW. You know, it's like, every time I step in the ring in CZW, I feel that, you know, like, my job is on the line, even though it's not, you know, but it's like, yeah, my job may be on the line, I gotta kill it, you know, so that's what goes through my head, is like, I love CZW, it's the best company I've ever wrestled for, you know, so I want to continue with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of, you know, the arena and Philly and all that stuff, and having you worked there before, but, you know, out from where you are and everything, what are your thoughts on the Philly crowd, and, you know, what would be your favorite crowd to work for and least favorite, and how do you adjust from one environment to the next?
Well, the Midwest style compared to the East Coast style of wrestling is obviously two different completely styles. I mean, it's like in the Midwest, the fans kind of want to see, you know, more of a, you know, like a story. You know, like they're more of like an old school type of crowd, where Philly, obviously, you know, is bloodthirsty, which is, you know, like a lot of, when I first came to Philly, my first match, I got the advice of, you know, go out there, you know, hit all your stuff, you know, and hit a cool dive, and the Philly fans will love you, you know, they're like vampires, you know, was the running joke, you know, but I love the Philly fans. Like, I love wrestling in front of the Philly fans, and CZW fans as well, you know, because obviously I wrestled on the East Coast with Ring of Honor, obviously with CZW, but in my opinion of the CZW crowd is, if you can get over in front of that crowd, you can get over in front of any crowd in the world.
Right.
You know, and that was, you know, the thing that I was told as well coming into CZW. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I CZW's crowd's my favorite crowd to wrestle for. And, you know, I'd have to say on the East Coast, and probably my whole career, looking back at everything, it's probably my favorite crowd is the CZW arena crowd. Cause, I mean, like I said, if you can get over in front of them, you can get over in front of anybody in the world. So they know what they like.
Yeah. Going in, you know, wrestling AR Fox and, you know, winning the Wired title, you know, what was your thoughts on that? You know, the Wired title went through, it kind of really didn't have a lot of identity. It bounced around a little bit. And then, you know, you ended up going over for the title. You know, what was your thoughts on that?
I was really excited about it. You know, I was really, really happy. It was kind of winning a, to me, you know, like, no identity, and it kind of bounced around. Like, my thing is like, I still felt it was a major title. And I still feel that it is a major title, you know, throughout independent wrestling. You know, that maybe, you know, that's my opinion. You know, but the thing is winning a title for me at the arena was just icing on the cake. You know, because I was growing up, I was a big fan of ECW, which I'm sure, you know, guys my age, most of them were a huge fan of CZW. And, you know, I really enjoyed the Jerry Lynn and RVD matches. So it's kind of like, you know, kind of like a dream of mine as a kid growing up. You know, this was, obviously there's no ECW, but the closest, you know, thing to me, in my opinion, is CZW. And winning their television title, it was kind of like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The market side of me was jumping up and down for joy. You know, so it's kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm still on that roller coaster ride, you know, of being the Wired Television Champion. I want to continue this journey and ride being the champion.
Awesome, yeah. I mean, and I say that about the identity and stuff like that, and it, because I've always had pretty much the attitude is like, kind of what you were saying is that all titles need to be important. They need to be treated like the most prestigious title in the world. And I believe that there's a huge step in the right direction going on with that title that you're defending. But like I say, like, yeah, at the point of you got it, AR Fox had it like maybe a month or two. I know he was going to Japan, so I'm not sure why, you know, if that was the reason they made the move or whatever. But either way, like, it was going from person to person, and then they were going off on other storylines and not even, like, really seeking the belt out. Like, if a guy loses a belt that he's had and then he just walks away and goes, all right, then it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't stand out as that belt meant that much. But, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the title needs an identity, and you very well defended that.
Well, I really appreciate that. You know, that was my number one goal too. Is that, you know, I told my close friends, my buddies. You know, I'm like, I want this to be as equivalent as the world title. And that's what I'm going to try to do. You know, like, you know, just having stellar matches and stuff. And you know, like you said, there may have not been a identity, but I hope now the fans, you know, feel like there is. If they felt like that, I hope they feel that there is an identity now, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, like I said, I mean, go ahead.
What was the, now, originally, you know, because I, you know, amongst others, knew, you know, who you and your brother were, and, you know, probably wasn't the most, you know, well versed on, you know, what you guys had to offer and stuff, but I knew it was definitely a good thing that you guys were in the company. You came in, impressed very fast through the fans. The first move was them bringing your brother in more or less to be your manager, I guess. And I was immediately angry. I was just like, why is this guy not in the ring? Like, ooh. And I think the tag team division is in dire need of, you know, a jump start. So I'm like, why are these guys not going against this guy or that guy or this, you know, just all like dream match stuff just rolling through your head. And I mean, what was it like? I mean, was there anything going on that he couldn't wrestle, or they just decided to hold him back for a few months, or what happened?
You know, that's a really good question. You know, at this point in time, you know, I'll be honest. We kind of wanted to try our hand in singles wrestling. You know what I mean? So it's not that we you know, just wanted to stop being a tag team. I mean, hell, we're brothers. You know, so it's
right.
You know, you never know what's going to happen down the road. But I mean, you know, that Dave is a very, very, you know, jealous type of guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, you know, if I get success, you know, at CTW, he wants to have it, you know what I mean? So it's kind of
right.
Like they're playing into that, you know, they know Dave. They know Dave's an asshole. You know, they know who Dave is as a person, and that's exactly like what you see in CTW, like out in the ring, you know, in promos, stuff like that. That is Dave being Dave.
Yeah.
You know, so the asshole that he is. You know, like I said, dating back to us first starting, you know, just training. I mean, we're brothers, you know, we're competitive, and him as the older brother, he doesn't want to see his younger brother, you know, doing better than him. You know what I mean? Like spade, you know, if it wasn't for me impressing, you know, nobody, I, you know, Dave and Dustin and all those guys, like, they wouldn't have, you know, opportunities that they had in CZW that, you know, I feel. So, you know, that's Dave being Dave. And the first few months, like, I think it was just kind of like one of those deals where Dave was like, yeah, let me catch a ride, you know. Let me see what this is all about, you know. Because I put CZW over, you know. I put them over in interviews, you know.
Right.
Like I said, I mean, I feel that they are the best company that I have ever wrestled for, you know.
Right.
Doing, you know, the history that, you know, that we have. It's like he wants to, and I love you too. He wants to. He wanted to get in that as well, you know, and you know, me being the Wired champion, you know, I really feel it was like, I need to be Wired champion, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I think that's why the played out is you know, the way it did.
All right. Now, over the years, I mean, how many times have you actually wrestled your brother, and is it hard to keep it fresh and, you know, new and come up with different things to do?
You know, no, it's not. I probably wrestled him, I would say, I've probably wrestled him more than I've wrestled any other person, obviously. I mean, I wrestled him his second match. I think it was like my fifth match, sixth match, you know, somewhere around there. So, I mean, like, we got stuff dating back from the beginnings of our career to now. So,
right.
I mean, to me, it's not hard to keep it fresh with him. It's just, I'd say it's more of like a chess match because he knows what I'm looking to do, and you know I know what he's looking to do. Like when we're tagging and stuff, I mean, we just make eye contact and we would know, you know, what move we'd want to do and so on and so forth. You know, I don't feel like a lot of people don't get to experience, you know, wrestling with their brother. You know, a few people do, but the ones that do, you know, they could probably, you know, agree with me, and it's just having that connection, you know, and,
yeah.
You know, trying new things and, you know, going out there and, you know, keeping it fresh. I mean, that's the competitive nature that we have. You know, it's like, we got to keep it fresh or so on and so forth. So, I mean, you know, I don't think we'll, knock on wood, I don't think it'll ever be still me versus him.
Right. Now, Ohio's for Killers, how did that come about and what does it mean? And, you know, give us the rundown on that.
OI4K is consisted of me, Dave, Sammy, and Dustin Reyes. And, then you have, like, an OIFK, which is, like, you know, like some of Dave's trainees, and, like it's kind of like a younger, you know, guys coming up. But the OIFK is, like, we are sick of how things were, you know, like, how independent wrestling is as a whole. Because, I mean, if you look at it, a lot of independent wrestlers out there, I mean, they're jokes. You know, they shouldn't be in the ring. You know, they have no gear, you know, and we pretty much were sick of it. You know, it's like, you know, we're gonna stand up. You know, Ohio's always kind of had the stigma of being, you know, a shitty place to come from, especially the Dayton area. You know,
right.
I used to have promoters call or email me, you know, or the ancient MySpace would message me and say, you know, hey, you know, give me your stats, blah, blah, blah. You know, this was first starting out or whatever.
Right.
Way back then. Like, oh, I'm from Dayton, Ohio. Oh, I don't want to use you. I'm like, well, why not?
Wow.
Well, it's because you're from Dayton. Dayton wrestling sucks, which is the God's honest truth. Dayton's wrestling is completely horrible. There's probably, like, I'd say 10, 15 feds are, like, in and around Dayton, and there's only one or two around the area that are actually really, really decent. But
yeah, so it's kind of tough to be a diamond in the rough, or, you know, what you know.
Exactly. I mean, Dayton's known as the gym city anyway. It's not as gym as in working out, but, you know, gym is a jewel. So, you know, Dayton's known as that. So we were like, you know, we're the jewels, you know, me, Dave, Sammy, and Dawson. Like, we're the jewels, you know. So, I was for Killers, you know, we were just sick of everything and fed up with how stuff was being, you know, how Dayton was being, you know, and Ohio as a whole. You know,
right.
Was being treated around the independent scene, and you know, just wrestling in general. You know, because you know, it sucks. When I first started, I was like, yeah, I'm a professional wrestler, and I used to, you know, even 10 years ago, that kind of held, you know, a little people that had a little weight to it. You know, nowadays it's like you hear I'm a fighter or I'm a cage fighter. You know, so it's like
yeah.
It went from pro wrestler to, you know, cage fighters. So it's like we're trying to put that back into wrestling, if that makes sense. You know, we're doing it one by one. You know, Sammy's all over the world. He's killing it. He's blown up. I can't be any more happy for Sammy than, I mean, it's literally seeing my, I feel, you know, my little brother succeeding in a business that's ran by big men, you know what I mean? So to me, you know, OI4K, it means a lot to us, to all four of us. So, and we're just trying to put a good name back to independent wrestling.
How'd you decide to use the Misfits logo for your logo for that?
Well, that's all Dave. Dave's doing. You know, being the punk rock kid that he is. They tried to modify it, you know, a little bit, you know, but Dave being such a big Misfits fan, it looks more like the Crimson Ghost than anything. But they actually changed the logo and everything and all that. I don't know if you seen the recent logo or whatever, but it actually looks like the Shape of Ohio now, other than, you know, the Crimson Ghost. But that was all Dave, you know. I'm huge into Skulls, like even before OI4K, I had Skull stuff on gear and stuff like that. So it just fits, you know, like, you know, we're killing it, and that's another thing too, like when we said we're killing it, you know, it's like, you know, we gotta go out there and we gotta kill it, you know. It's also representing where we're from. We're representing Ohio. You know, there's a lot of good wrestlers that came out of Ohio, but, you know, but the good wrestlers, you know, versus the bad is just
pretty lopsided.
Yeah, really, really lopsided.
Yeah. You guys have worked for Ian Rotten too, right over there, IWA.
Absolutely.
What was your experience working there?
You know. Experience was, you know, this is pretty much like everybody else's, you know. It's it was okay. I mean, it wasn't, you know, as bad as what, you know, other people have had. You know, like the thing with us, we never had a guaranteed price on what we would come in for, you know, because that was. We came in for Ian before we started wrestling for Ring of Honor. So, you know, we didn't have any set price on what we would come in. So, I mean, I guess him giving us, you know, $20 to drive 8 hours, I guess, you know, that was our fault.
Wow.
I have a guarantee. But I'm sure... I'm sure, you know, that's probably what we would have got anyways. But my experience with Ian, I mean, it wasn't bad, you know, and it wasn't you know, it was, I don't have horror stories like, you know, most guys have, you know, like, you know, he probably, you know, they're towards the end of it, you know, we had a guarantee and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, it was terribly, horribly bad. You know, we got to wrestle, you know, some pretty big indie names and stuff like that. You know, guys like Tyler and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was a good experience, you know. Loved working with Jigsaw and Hall of Wicked. That was a pretty decent match. And even with the Tomaselli's, you know, like working with those, even though they buried us on commentary and stuff, you know, once we left IWA Mid-South for Ring of Honor. So that's another story.
Yeah. what were some of your inspirations, you know, getting into wrestling and all of that? Some of the guys that you watched that helped formulate your style and stuff?
Obviously, guys like, you know, Eddie Guerrero, and, you know, even though this man's name has been tarnished and stuff like that, you know, I can't help but to admit, you know, I was a huge fan of Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
You know, watching those guys. Liked watching Jamie Noble. I liked watching, you know, like the stars from Japan, like, you know, Kenta Kobashi.
Right.
Guys like that, you know, I like to like watching those guys, like watching Mare Fuji, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I would say more of my inspiration, guys that I studied, was more of like, you know, Dynamite Kid, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, you know, Dean Malenko. Those guys, you know, I like SEMA. You know, his work is a shit, you know, so I watch a lot of his stuff. You know, I constantly watch wrestling, you know, see what I can improve on, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, always taking a little bit from somebody, and then, you know, it's like, bam, you got, you know, who, you know, a Sam McCallahan or a Jake Crist, or even, you know, a Dave, something like that.
Right.
You know, those guys, you know, I like technical wrestling more than I do anything. You know, like hard hitting. I don't know if a lot of people could see that in my style or not. But that's what I like watching. I like watching the guys that can actually get down and wrestle and, you know, brawl if they need to, high fly if they need to. But I like to be well-rounded. You know, I like to think I could do any style that's put forth.
Right.
And put in front of me.
Did you ever, or do you have any favorite matches, you know, that you've watched or stuff, you know, over the years of, you know, watching wrestling as a fan?
I have a lot of
favorite matches. Narrow it down.
It's very, very hard to narrow it down. You know, oh yeah, also, always like watching like Randy Savage's stuff as well, you know, especially as a kid. And then, you know, growing up, and it's like, oh, you know, you get to appreciate it more, you know, once you've been trained and stuff like that, you know. So obviously, you know, Savage Steamboat is a fave. I will always like watching Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, Halloween Havoc. That's a fave of mine. The Dynamite Kid versus the Tiger Mask. You could pick any match they've had. I always felt that it was awesome to watch. You know, and always like watching. You know, Finley versus Benoit. You know, always watching their stuff. I like watching Benoit go on or wrestle with Malenko as well. You know, but as a fan, getting into like when I always wanted to be a wrestler at the age of as far as I can remember. It's like 5 years old, sitting on my dad's lap watching wrestling. You know, it's like, ah, that's what I'm going to be. But, you know, then you start experience your adolescence years and stuff like that. And it's, you may, you know, venture down another course. You know, I used to play baseball growing up and stuff, and had a scholarship. You know, not to a big school or anything, you know, nothing huge, but I had a scholarship to a community college to go to play baseball. But
right.
I actually went to an independent show for HWA, and I saw Matt Stryker versus Jamie Noble. It was at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds.
Okay.
And that's when I was like, you know, I'm actually going to pursue this. I always said that I wanted to be a wrestler, so let's see if I could do it. And it was actually, I can tell you, it was one move. One move made me decide I wanted to be a professional wrestler, and that was Matt Stryker's Power Slam.
Wow.
You know, like I thought he had the snap Power Slam. It was so awesome. I was like, you know, and Nigel, I remember his stuff. You know, always a big fan of Nigel's stuff as well. And then finally, you know, coming into HWA and stuff like that, getting to work with these guys on a weekly basis was just like, man, if you can't learn from them, you can't learn from anyone.
Right.
You know?
Who was your favorite opponent you've had over the years?
Always enjoyed wrestling with Moxley. Always Dave, obviously, you know, for competitive reasons. Big fan of mine and Sammy's work. Always like working with him and Dustin Reyes. And I'm beginning to really, really like the work with AR Fox as well.
Great.
You know, like our stuff, I feel.
Yeah. If you had to show somebody one match, somebody that was maybe scouting you or what have you, one match that would define what everything that you have, what would that match be?
I would probably show them the arena match with me and Sammy. I really felt that I was on the verge of getting my spot with CZW. I really, like you said, you know, earlier, I really felt that was, you know, I agree with you. You know, I really felt that was the turning point of me getting my job at CZW and keeping it.
I'd probably
show them that if I'd have to show them just one match.
Wouldn't be a bad choice. What are some dream matches you have? Guys you haven't worked before that you'd love to work?
As a teenager, I got to wrestle all of the guys that are, you know, that like I said, you know, Matt Stryker, guys, Nigel, you know, Cody, stuff. Those guys, you know, like I was always, you know, going to those shows. Like, man, I'd love to wrestle that guy. But now it's, I don't really know if I have like a dream match. Probably SEMA. You know, that'd probably be considered one of my dream matches. I would one of my dream matches would be to work, you know, Finlay. You know, watching him as a kid and, just appreciating what he could still do, you know, in the ring. It's amazing. You know, one tough bastard.
Yeah.
So,
him and Sammy just tore it up not so long ago.
Yeah, they're awesome stuff, you know. Those two guys, I've actually been pretty fortunate with the dream matches. You know, I've kind of had, you know, all the guys that I wanted to set the ring with, and, you know, like Jack Collier and stuff like those guys, you know. It was, you know, obviously, you know, like Noble and those guys, I mean, they still do stuff, but, you know, it's, you know, they're pretty much, you know, wrapped up, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, being in the WWE and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's no one really, I don't think, on TV right now that I'd be like, oh, I need that. I would love to wrestle him.
Well, I mean, speaking of TV and all that stuff, I mean, what are your goals? I'm obviously, the quick answer everyone gives me, WWE and stuff like that.
I'll be honest with you. I would never turn down, you know, a contract. You know, you'd be pretty foolish.
Mm-hmm.
But that has never been my number one goal. My number one goal in wrestling was to make it over to Japan. You know, that's always been my number one goal. Is, you know, it was never, you know, Madison Square Garden. Is Tokyo Dome. You know, that's
right.
My number one goal, to wrestle in the Tokyo Dome, you know, or Curtain Hall, you know. But you know, obviously those are my Madison Square Garden, and you know, in the States, you know, like I said, it was never about wrestling for WWE. It was wrestling for ECW. And
right.
At the time, I felt, you know, Ring of Honor took the place of ECW. And when I got to wrestle in the arena, you know, my first time for Ring of Honor, that was, you know, my Madison Square Garden. You know,
yeah.
But my number one goal is Japan, and you know, just to make a really decent living off of wrestling has always been my number one goal. You know, it's not wrestling at WrestleMania. You know, it's not wrestling for Impact Wrestling. You know, it was
right. I don't know whose
you know,
goal that is, but.
I'm sure there is some. This may be. I'm sure the guys that wrestle for TNA or Impact or whatever they want to be called, I'm sure those guys, you know, their goal is to be there,
go
right?
Somewhere else. No.
You know, like the older fellas. You know, I'm sure they like being
yeah.
there.
Yeah. But now I hear you. I mean, what's your thoughts on, you know, guys like Mox and like that, you know, actually making it to the TV product and guys you were working and all of that in the past?
Oh man, I can't be more happy for those guys. You know, I'm not a jealous guy. You know, I feel, you know, like if you work hard enough at something and if you want something bad enough, you know, eventually.
Yeah.
You get it. You may have to fight, you know, scratch, claw your way to get there. You know, and like my opinion on and here's another reason going, you know, back to your last question about what I wanted out of the business and out of wrestling. Like I said, you know, WWE, you know, like face it, even if I got there. You know, like I said, I wouldn't turn it down. Even if I got there, it's not like I could be a top guy because I'm a small individual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not over 6 foot. You know, I'm not over 230 pounds. You know, so it's like it's very, very few guys my size has, you know, made it to WWE and has made, you know, multi-million dollars. You know what I mean? So it's like, that was always, you can't be a top guy being, you know, the size of myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why it was never a goal. That's why Japan was always my goal. You know, that's where, you know, a smaller guy can go and make a really good living off of wrestling. But
I hear you. I mean, some of those doors have opened up, but you know, the Daniel Bryan's in there, and you know, CM Punk being more or less the top guy, and he was never, you know, the largest guy in the world. But I do understand it. It's a far harder hill to climb as far as a smaller guy goes than it is for anybody else.
Right. I'm not saying it's in. I'm not saying it's impossible. You know, but guys like CM Punk. I mean, you can't hold that kind of guy down. You know what I mean? You know, like,
yeah.
He's got so much charisma, his wrestling ability, and his mic skills are just off the charts. You know, same with Brian. You know, it's like those guys. I look up to those guys. You know, especially. Not being the biggest guys, but you cannot deny those kind of guys because they can do any and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've seen it, you know, and I'm sure you have too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like those guys, you know, you can't deny. I'm not, you know, downplaying my abilities or anything like that. It's
All
just,
right.
you know, like those guys are, you know, those guys are, you know, one in a lifetime, you know what I mean, type of guys, you know. I mean, there's been smaller guys, you know, but, you know, with, you know, Guerrero and Benoit as well, being able to go there and, you know, make an awesome living, you know. And those guys, I have so much respect for them. But, you know, it's just, you know, looking at the situation, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not 6 foot, you know, something, 240-something pounds, you know. I'm 5'6", you know, 5'7", best, 191 pounds, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So. What's the worst injury you've had, and... like, how did that happen?
My worst injury is my shoulder. I dislocated my shoulder. I think it was like around my 20th match, and never got it checked out. You know, I just popped it back into place, and ever since then, it's given me problems. You know, especially. Lifting weights and stuff like that. Like, bench pressing is a very, very hard task for me right now. And, you know, obviously being able to, you know, you have to be able to pick up, you know, over 200-pound guys, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, the limitation on my shoulder is, it sucks.
Was there anything specific that you did in the ring to actually pop it out or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. The guy, at the time, I was probably 120 pounds at the most, and the guy I wrestled was over 350 pounds, I would say, and he couldn't control my big 120-pound ass, and he just spiked me straight on my shoulder, and it popped out instantly. You know, and of course, finished the match like an idiot, and then, you know, I think I had to do something else on the show as well. You know, so I had to go back out, and I wrestled another match, and so we popped it back in and wrestled another match in the same day, and it just, you know, like I would ice it and stuff like that. It was, my girlfriend, she knows a lot about that stuff. She's an awesome basketball player, you know, as a junior high and high school. So she knows a lot about injuries. So she helped me out a lot. And then, you know, with icing it and resting and stuff like that. But that's probably been my worst and the most nagging. And then I recently, last July, completely shattered my ankle and a couple ligaments and stuff like that, and I was on such a huge roll. I felt in my career I couldn't stop, you know, and of course you know, doctor would tell me, you know, it's messed up. You know, like I need it fused. You know, I need like my left ankle is still triple its size.
Wow.
And, you know, that's actually working with that injury is really, really sucked as well. You know, because I'd overcompensate on some things, and you know, I would especially with, you know, trying to do stuff off the top. You know, like sometimes I'd overshoot.
Right.
Overshoot certain things, you know, because I would just tape it up and wear a couple braces, and then my boot, you know, tied my boot up as tight as I can get it. And wrestling on a shattered and a couple ligaments torn was very, very difficult. Like I said, I felt like I couldn't stop. I was on a huge roll, especially at CZW. I was like, This is a place I want to be, you know, and, you know, I can't take off.
Right.
And that happened at IWA East Coast. Me and Dave, Dave and I were doing a Spanish fly onto Ponda, and my left leg actually landed on Too Tough Tony. He was coming into the ring. And as he was rolling into the ring, which, you know, why he would roll into the ring as we were doing that, I have no idea. But my leg came down and just smacked him. And it was probably one of the worst things I've felt in wrestling.
As far as injury goes. Your injuries and stuff, have they made you more hesitant to do certain things, like such as, you know, the first guy that you were wrestling? Are you a little more leery on, you know, unknown or, you know, a big guy that might not be as athletically inclined to do such a thing? Or
no, I would say that was more of the case of my daughter being born. That's where I was like, you know, my style before she was born was just throw caution to the wind, you know, do whatever I can, jump off the ropes a million times in one match, and then when she was born, even when, like, I didn't stop doing all that stuff either. It was actually probably when she was like four and she was able to, you know, move around and, you know, run and play sports and stuff like that. And that's when I was like, I need to be here for her. And, you know, I want to, you know, be able to show her different things as far as, you know, sports goes, and being able to walk to the field to watch her play.
Yeah.
You know, so that's when to me, I was kind of like, I need to be a little more
cautious
on things. But I mean, in wrestling, is there really isn't such a word, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
the word that's
not about, like, as they say,
you know, but you try to be, you try. But of course, you know, when you get in front of a Philly or, you know, a CZW crowd, it's like, these guys, you know, these people came and they paid their hard-earned money to see, you know, people perform, and that's I'm not going to disappoint them.
Yeah,
if that makes
stuff.
Sense.
Yep. You wrestled Aaron McCormick earlier this week, right?
What's that?
You wrestled Aaron McCormick earlier this week?
Yeah, on Tuesday.
How'd that go?
Oh, it went really well. He's, you know, just kind of, he's so tiny.
Yeah.
So it was like wrestling a little kid, but when you feel, you know, first couple blows that he gives you, he doesn't hit like a little kid. you know, so you quickly forget, you know, about a size and, you know, concentrate on trying to ground him, you know, because he likes to jump around and stuff like that. And,
move as
around.
A fan, I like him.
He's good. I mean, he's up and coming. He's actually a guy from Dayton, you know, so he...
Maybe he can get inducted into the crew.
You never know. You never know.
Give him some time. Give him some time.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah. Well, talk about a couple upcoming matches you got. In AIW, you're doing a match with you and your brother against Euthanasia, M-Dog and Josh Prohibition. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm looking forward to it, you know. I haven't wrestled those guys as them being a team. I wrestled them individually, and I think we've wrestled them years ago. We got to wrestle Josh, so that was fun, you know. Me and M-Dog had a really, it was a pretty decent match at IPW. I think it was 05, 06,
okay,
somewhere around there. You know, so I haven't wrestled those guys since though. So I'm really looking forward to it. See what they can do and what we can do against them.
Good. I think it'd be a great match. And obviously the other match, you know, upcoming that I have is you versus your brother at Best of the Best. Last year you were in the tournament. This year you got one of the definite standout matches as far as non-tournament goes, and wire title on the line. How do you think that's going to go?
Well, Best of the Best, you know, for me is where you know, I fell higher in my spot, you know, and I'd say my spot because, you know, Dave kind of came in with me and stuff like that. So, this, you know, Best of Best for me is I'm putting everything just like I did last year. It's all or nothing for me at this point. You know, Dustin, you know, being my former best friend, you know, unfortunately, his accident happened at TOD. It was Cage of Death. You know.
Yeah, I think so.
December, with his when he shattered his broke his femur in half. You know,
Yeah. Actually,
I went to the hospital and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different things playing in the. This match with me and Dave at Best of the Best, you know, but I'm going in there and I'm, like I said, it's all or nothing for me at this point. And I'm just, you know, not only am I going to prove it to Dave and the fans and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm proving to myself that I am the better Chris brother by beating him at Best of the Best and retaining the, you know, keeping the CCW Wired Television Championship.
Awesome. Before we let you go, you know, a few things. Just wonder if you could cut us a Yakuza Kick Radio promo.
Yeah, sure.
Right ahead.
Not a problem. I actually really enjoyed my time with you. It was a quick hour and 13 minutes, right?
Yeah, man.
So, I'm actually... You know, this is my first interview I've done in a very long time. So I appreciate you you having me on here. You know, so
not a problem.
I'm going to pay more attention to your show and everything. You're a great host. Great host.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you.
Very, very, very happy that you had me on, and would love to come on in the future.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you're more than welcome.
Acoustic Kick is one of my favorite moves.
There you go. You got anything you want to plug before I let you off?
Oh, man, CZW Best of the Best, April 14th. You know,
all right.
Make sure any true independent wrestling fan around the area, they need to be at that show. Because, I mean, hell, it's...
And if they can't be there, it's an iPay-per-view.
It's an iPay-per-view. You need to buy it. I mean, who...
There you go.
Wrestling has evolved so much, right?
Absolutely.
iPay-per-views and stuff like that. So, I mean...
Yeah.
They need
watch
to, they
a lot
need
of Dragon Gate this
and,
weekend off of that.
Are you? Let me know how that goes.
I will. I'll be reviewing that next week.
Let me know how my boy does. He's going to destroy Sabu.
Yes, he surely is. So. Yeah, man. Well, yo, thank you so much for coming on, Jake. You've been great. You're welcome back anytime, and you know, I hope you just go out there and kill it like you Ohio boys do.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good night, Jake.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, so that was the one and only Jake Crist. Phenomenal guest. And, you know, I couldn't ask any more out of the dude. Just great stuff. And I don't think he hung up yet. There he goes. Got a little dog in there and everything. Cool stuff. Again, man, that's Jake Crist. That's the shit. And I'm gonna take a break. Nah, he didn't get the promo thing, but it doesn't matter. It's no problem. He's a good guy. So he just started talking, and it's fine. Awesome stuff. I'm gonna go ahead and play a song, and then I'm gonna come back and talk a whole bunch about a bunch of other stuff. Let me see what I want to play. I have a few things here tonight. So much to talk about. Let me see. What the fuck? I know I put up a couple tracks. And this, it's crazy because when you do this, you got to look through, like, I don't know, 300 clips that automatically alphabetize themselves. So you have to remember what it was under. It's just such havoc. It really is. It really, really is. Anyway. Here goes, I'm going to play some rap, you know that. So anyway, here goes some Sean P.
I hate gossip.
Me too.
And I don't walk around looking for it, you know?
I don't even go outside.
But yesterday it seemed to just wander around until it found me.
Right,
like,
you want to get some cigarettes?
Gossip found me. Then why don't you try proving? How? You don't know how to prove it?
Yeah.
Well, what you just do is...
Stop hating on the guard, lying your pants on fire, perpetrating the fraud. This shit you pop doesn't reverberate with the guard. The eight shakes and raise the murder rate. Oh my god, oh my god. I am the best to do it. Repeat, I am the best to do it. Defeat all the rest who knew it. Sneak attack, eagle eat your back. You blew it, stupid. Truth is, I am smarter than your average Joe Bear or Jesus of Nazareth. Battleship, battleship, battleship. I ain't playing games, bitch. That'll click, gravel pit. That'll be your grave, bitch. My shit is off the meter, off the reefer, awkward. I talk with heaters, I walk with orthopedic features, coughing. Why? Cause I eat the creatures off in the portion.
Fucker.
Stop analyzing, realizing that we them guys, y'all niggas really idolizing. Great advertising, 4 day sodomizing. Wild nigga in school, quick to Columbine. Police looking for me, couldn't fucking find him. Then I got consignment, then I got some diamonds. Did my time, then came home and I was fucking popping. He don't know me when I robbed him, son, I rocked the stockings. Even stole him chocolate. Before I dug his pockets, girl said I need to stop it. Yeah, I know I need the profits. You ain't with my mans, you the fucking target. Flooded Sean P again, cop the shit at Target. They said I try to open up the market. I said I OJ him, open up the carcass. Even taste the blood, that's a starving artist. ACG's in your face like sorry puss.
There you go, there you go. So, I'm back. Now, you know, tonight, like I said, you know, last week I made a point I didn't want to take any calls, you know, none of that stuff, because I just really had a kind of like a pride thing that I want to do a solid 2 hours by myself, no guests, no nothing. This week I had my guests. Lines are back open. Anyone that would like to call in, chat it up on whatever topic you got. Numbers 347-215-8300. So it's all open. It's all welcome. I had Juan called like as soon as the show started, and I had my guest on. Juan is very welcome to call back again if you'd like to do so. Anybody else, all good, whatever. All right, so anyway, got a bunch of other stuff to get into. First thing, man, as soon as I finished the show last week, I went and I looked on my internet, and what do I see? Something I would have loved to talk about last week, and that is CZW is running a Kevin Nash seminar. You know, I mean, Kevin Nash.
I'm your friend!
That's the guy. So, yeah, they're doing that. So, hey, I mean, he's very experienced. He's been around forever. He's politicked everybody around him out of getting paid more than him. He's kept his face around when he is the perfect example of how to teach people how to make the most money and do the least work. And I guess there's a certain part of that that's definitely commendable. I mean, you could definitely give somebody a lot of credit for doing the least and making the most. I mean, you could hate on it or whatever, but as far as a businessman goes, that's a fucking businessman as far as wrestling goes or you know, what have you. I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but in the same token, he's got something to teach you. I don't even think there needs to be a wrestling ring involved, though, for him to start teaching people. I think he could sit at a boardroom table and start telling them how to politic their fucking locker room mates. You know, I don't know. But, yeah, that's something else. And then, you know, how to not get over on national television, even though you've been in the business for all those years. Yeah, it's you know, kind of, he can do what he wants. It just shocked the shit out of me. It was like the weirdest name to ever come across. That CZW is hosting a seminar featuring blank. Kevin Nash. Why not? Yeah, why not? Sure. Fantastic. So, anyway, speaking of CZW, that's what's up right there. And it's I don't know. I would love to see the speech he gives kids out there. What he tells and teaches people, it just boggles my mind. But hey, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure he's got some knowledge to pass on. That's for sure. Anyway, speaking of CZW, man, they got like two matches on tonight on the Dragon Gate show out in Florida. The Dragon Gate's running like a triple header. So tonight they're in the, actually as we speak, they're probably nearing main event status or some shit like this. But they got Drake versus DJ Hyde and Danny Havoc versus 13. Those two matches are more or less the beforehand show or whatever you want to call it. I don't want to call it dark matches because, I mean, they're going to go out there and do CZW-style matches and show everybody what CZW has, and that's that. Also tonight, big shit. I mean, you got Ricochet versus Mike Cruz. You got Masato Yoshino versus a new mystery luchador. You have Sima and Masaki Mochizuki versus Scott Reed and Caleb Conley with Larry Dallas. You got Low-Key versus Bobby Fish. Huge high-flying matchup of Pac versus AR Fox. What's fucking with that? That is going to do some shit. And you got the main event, a three-way elimination match of Ronin, comprised of Johnny Gargano, Chuck Taylor, and Rich Swann, taking on the Blood Warriors of Akira Tozawa, BB Hulk, and UHA Nation, and the Dirty Ugly Fucks of Sami Callihan, Eric Cannon, and Piggy Sanchez. that is a fucking main event right there. That they're gonna tear it up. No maybes about it. Then come the next day, starting Saturday, is their 2-day live pay-per-view. The IPPV fucking internet pay-per-view, John. It's on WWNLive.com. And for everyone listening, there is no reason in the world why you should not, at the very least, watch the Friday show. Because the Friday show is only $1.99. That's all that'll cost you. All that'll cost you to watch the Friday show is $1.99 for the iPay-per-view. I have both of them ordered already, but if you just watch the Friday one to see, you know, what they got, what they're putting out there, you know, and you want to, hold on, I got a call on the line. Hey, who's this? You're on the line, who's this? All right, dropped off. I think that was actually Jake's number calling back for some reason. You can call back and listen, that's fine, whatever. So anyway, but yeah, if nothing else, $1.99. How can you miss it? Let me tell you what you get for $1.99. One low price. I'll just start doing commercials, just random commercials I'm not getting paid for. And yeah. And I'm gonna start answering the phone like fucking Larry King too. I'm just going to just, Jan from San Francisco, Bill from Wichita, and it could be anybody on the other line, because I have no way of knowing until I pick it up, and it's just an awkward thing. So anyway, even when the same number had called me earlier in the night, I still don't know who they are. That's how talented I am. So anyway, for $1.99, you get this. You get Masato Yoshino versus Rich Swann in a special attraction match. You get A.R. Fox versus UHA Nation, and if that shit right there hasn't been done before and done well every single time, man, they're going to tear it up. That's worth you $2 right there. If it's not, how about Sami Callihan versus BB Hulk? That's another dream match. Crazy shit. Cannot wait to see it. So, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, there's just so much here. You got Sabu and John Davis taking on Eric Cannon and Pinky Sanchez in a street fight. Sabu better not exude too much energy there, because I'm telling you, you know, come Sunday, there's an epic fucking match that's going to go down, and we'll get into that in just a minute. You got Masaki Mochizuki taking on Akira Tozawa. This ain't no Japanese with Eric. I can speak it. main event number two. Actually, the one I just listed was main event number three. Now, if $2, when has $2 gotten you a match of the caliber of Pac versus Low Key? Watch live as Pac versus Low Key destroy each other in that ring. You're going to see two of the top fucking independent wrestlers, and they're going to kill it. So, serious. And then you got your other main event, and that is an Open the United Gate title match, which I would imagine is a tag title. Yeah, it's, and you got Seema and Ricochet defending against Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor. So, that's what's up. That right there is what's up. There is no reason why anybody out there shouldn't be checking that out. It's $2. Fucking $2. And, you know, I signed on for the next one the next day, and I think that one's like $14.99 or something. So you figure you get 2 days worth of wrestling, two full cards, Friday and Saturday, for under $20, straight up, streaming live into your computer. And me, with the 20-inch, I think it's like a 20, 22-inch computer screen, perfect. I'll be chilling. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to tell you about it next week. And I'm telling you, because WrestleMania costs you like $60, $70. I don't even know what it costs, because I ain't going to pay for it. And, I guarantee you those two cards, even if you put together the enjoyment of those two cards for under $20, will blow away what's going on Sunday for your $60, $70, whatever, what have you. And I will be watching Sunday as well, just won't be. So, you know, I'll review it all next week. We have a big, big, big weekend of wrestling coming up, and I'm looking forward to it quite a bit. Well, I mean, before I get into Sunday, Saturday's pay-per-view, let me see how I actually want to do this. All right, here's what I'll do. I'll run down the majority of the show, and then that. So, you got this. You got John Davis versus Bobby Fish. You got A.R. Fox versus Eric Cannon. I'm going to leave out the no rules fight and come back to it. You got a Pac Invitational Aerial Elimination Match. And that is Pac versus Rich Swann versus Lince Dorado versus others to be announced. So I would imagine you tune into that Friday show and you're going to get a lot more answers on what this card is going to be comprised of. You have the Open, the Freedom Gate title match, and Johnny Gargano versus Masato Yoshino. And you have a six-way tag team match tradition. Sima versus... Sima, Ricochet, and Masaki Mochizuki versus Low-Key, Akira Tozawa, and BB Hulk. That's some shit right there. Also, more to be signed with Chuck Taylor, Pinky Sanchez, UHA Nation, the scene of Scott Reed and Caleb Conley. It just comes wrong off of it. I feel like it's a foreign language to me when I read that. I don't know what it is. Anyway, they'll be in matches as well. Now, the match that has been talked about for months upon months, and that is a no-rules fight of Sami Callihan versus Sabu. And I'll just play for you Sami Callihan's last words for Sabu from Kirk and Hall. While in Japan, he just got back. There you go.
I've been doing a lot of thinking. I've been doing a lot of soul searching over the past couple of weeks. Callahan Death Machine World Tour 2012. I'm the guy now. Mexico, England, Germany, Japan, Canada, United States. I should be thinking about bigger and better things in my career, but all I can think about is Sabu. All I can think about is his face. I can't get it out of my head. All I can think about is his scars. All I can think of is lack of hair now. All I can think about is who he is and what I want to do to him. All I can think about is Dragon Gate USA, WrestleMania weekend, and you, Sabu. Gosh, it pisses me off. I'm standing in the legendary Corrigan Hall, and all I can think about is Sabu, 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 Sabu. Look into these eyes, Sabu. You think I'm afraid? You think I'm scared? I ain't afraid. I ain't scared. You should be afraid of me. You should be afraid what I'm going to do to you live on iPay-Per-View. Because I'm not going to be nice anymore. Because honestly, you've pissed me off. I'm going to end you. I'm going to cripple you. And if you don't disappear this time, I'll leave you dead in the middle of the ring just to prove a point. Sabu, look into my eyes. You're looking into the eyes of a madman. You're looking into the eyes of a killer. You're looking into the eyes of the Callahan Death Machine, Sami Callihan. I ain't scared, but you should be. See you WrestleMania weekend. Might be the last time you'll ever be in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, so there's Sami Callihan, one of my favorites, and Yeah, he's been talking tremendous amount of shit about Sabu for months, and it's phenomenal. I can't wait to see what happens. Sammy's going to be Sammy. Sabu has been kind of hit and miss for the past couple of years, and yeah, no doubt about it, a legend. But hey, man, Sammy's going to be Sammy, and Sammy's going to be hitting. And we'll see how Sabu responds to that come Saturday live pay-per-view. So I can't wait. Update on tonight's thing. I was wrong about CCW being the early or quote-unquote dark matches. They're actually the after show, per se. So they can do all the light tubes, all the craziness, all the death match, whatever, without anybody having to worry about shards or scraps or anything in the ring that don't do that type of style. So that is soon to come. If you're out in Florida, that's what's about to go down. Unfortunately, in the main event, UHA Nation suffered what appears to be a serious knee injury. So my thoughts go out to UHA. I hope everything's okay. I hope that it's diagnosed to be something that's very tolerable. And I wish him a speedy recovery on, you know, whatever he suffered out there. I just, you know, got word off of, you know, somebody who was out there. He was just a tremendous, tremendous guest for me. But beyond that, I mean, he's just an awesome fucking worker. He's really hit a stride right now that he's going to go out there. He's going to open a lot of eyes. WrestleMania weekend, man. He got hurt tonight. He's guaranteed to miss the next 2 days. I can't imagine he's going to go in there for the next 2 days and work if he suffered a severe knee injury tonight. So, you know, my thoughts go out to him. Everybody, you know, give him a shout out, give him your good wishes and all that stuff. Just an awesome competitor, and it sucks to see. And I really hope it isn't a long term thing. So that's that on that. Well, to just go off on something else random, because I just like to do random things sometimes, because, you know, I got a lot of, you know, WrestleMania, WWE talk that, you know, everyone expects, and I'll do that. Let me just get into something real quick about a movie none of you should ever watch unless you would like to, you know, contemplate suicide. Obviously, it's not going to force you to definite suicide because I'm still here. But something possessed me to watch The Zookeeper with Kevin James. And he always entertained me. King of Queens, everything else. Yeah, I mean, just funny guy. Yeah, all that. Do not watch this fucking movie, okay? And not only that, like, I'm good with the comedies that are kind of like goofy and stuff like that. Like, believe me, I'm surely not turned off by, a family type movie with animals talking in the movie. I'm all in on that. Like, that's not something that I'm against. I'm not on some shit where, I can't handle that, or, oh, this is just going to be boring because animals are talking. Like, no. Like, the Dr. Dolittle movies are awesome, and like the whole shit. Like, I can get down with that. So, but this shit, man, this goes from, like, goofy fucking zookeeper guy who, this girl, like, this, no, I misspoke. This cunt, she, you know, they just start off like he's in love, and he's, like, set up this whole thing, and he's riding across the beach, and he's, going to propose to her, and he like rented a horse and the whole nine, and then they find a bottle he planted on the beach with the "Will You Marry Me" shit inside, and he's got a band playing, and she's like, no. She's like, you know, I don't like this whole zookeeper shit. Like, you could do better shit in your life. I really don't like this whole zookeeper shit. And I'm just like, dude, she's such a cunt. He just went all out for her, and look, this fucking bitch. So then it's like, you go from that to, like, okay, now he's back at his zookeeper job and he's doing all that. The animals are really feeling him. He's, like, a really caring dude and stuff like that. I'm still in. I'm, like, right here. It's still working. You know what I mean? And eventually, like, and then you see that the animals are talking and shit when the people aren't around. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I've seen that before. That works. And then all of a sudden they come and they're like, well, you know, this guy needs our help. you know, and he's down for us type thing. So we're going to start talking to him and shit. Even though we ain't supposed to, we're going to chat with him because we feel like we could help him and stuff like that. Okay, again, I get it. No problem. You go from that to like 5 minutes later, fucking Kevin James and a gorilla in the fucking truck singing about apple bottom jeans. The gorilla's in a fucking t-shirt and they're going to TGI Fridays. That shit is retarded. I almost threw up when I fucking seen that shit. I was like, you gotta be out your motherfucking mind. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, this guy's special, they're talking to him, okay, now they're gonna help him, they're gonna show some, you know, wild instinct shit to him, and all of that stuff, and, you know, we'll get some little jokes and shit like that. They just fucking destroyed it. It was just like, oh, fucking, now they're in the car. Now the gorilla knows the words to fucking, Shorty got low, low, low. Get the fuck off my TV, man. I felt like breaking shit. Like, that shit was horrible. Horrible movie. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. I'm trying to tell you, if you don't listen and you watch it, and then you tell me, oh, you were right, I'm going to talk some shit at you. I'm not going to be nice. Don't watch it. I'm giving you fucking solid advice right now. You don't do it. Just don't do it. So anyway, WWE, yeah. I'm finding WWE very hard to watch lately, like extremely hard to watch. So I actually skimmed Raw like several times this week. I wasn't able to get like the whole like front to back of it. I really wasn't. Oh shit, I forgot that clip. I'll do it next week. But yeah, it's just lackluster. It's shit. There's nothing that should really, like, draw you towards this. So I'm not even going to go through, like, a full rundown on Raw because I don't have that much to say. I'm looking forward to Albert coming back in. Lord Kensei. That good stuff. Okay, great. But, I mean, let's straight up. And it's weird because the Cena Rock promo, to close it out, I'll say this about it. It gave you the impression, if nothing else has to this date, which it sure as fuck should have, you know, it more or less, yeah, Nina's saying in the chat, we watched it twice and he didn't pay attention to it both times. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Like, I fucking go on and, like, let's try this again. And I'm like, oh, Angry Birds on the computer. Like, I don't fucking care. Oh, man, I want to, and I just don't. There's so much other good wrestling shit going on that I'm just like, well, so anyway, oh, what's this? Oh, okay. And then I'm just, like, just doing other shit. Like, listening to fucking podcasts or fucking Howard Stern or just whatever, but it's not caring about that shit. So WrestleMania, great. Anyway, but the Rock and Cena promo gave me the, like, they will look like complete bags of shit if they don't go out there and work a tremendous sprint, fucking try to put on a 5-star match. Whether they do or not, I don't know. I have this feeling that match has to be fucking good. Like, the two of them have to make each other look better than they have in a lot of years, and, you know, mostly because The Rock hasn't been around at all, and he's coming in for this that they hyped a year in advance without these guys coming in physical contact at all, which I always thought was a terrible idea. And then follow that with most of Cena's matches blow, and the last one to pull a good match out of John Cena was CM Punk. So, you know, that's not exactly a credit to Cena. It's just, you know. So, but they really put on something out there that gave you the impression that these guys are literally going to kick the shit out of each other. These guys are really going to go in and they're going to give it all, which is hard because you really don't expect that out of either one of these guys. And this match is probably going to be main event. You don't hype something for a straight year. I know a lot of people are saying Triple H, Undertaker, all of that stuff. Well, listen, I understand. But you don't hype anything for a year without it being a main event. You don't. Like, the only thing that ever mattered was Cena Rock. Fucking Cena feuded with Kane for fucking a couple months for them to just bury Kane back down, which makes no sense. And then now he's fighting Randy Orton. That has zero build at a WrestleMania because they gave fucking him to John Cena for all that time, which Kane isn't worth a whole lot, but his gimmick or whatever can get a storyline rolling where you'll have something to go with or something to talk about or whatever. So they pretty much gave him to Cena for that time, just for Cena to go back to the shit that they were talking about a year ago, where kind of left Kane looking like a retard. But so you get that, and it's weird. It's really strange. But I think that they're going to have to pull out a 5-star match out of this, and you know that it's not going to shock me. It's not going to shock me if people are like, "Whoa, I didn't expect that match to be that good. Holy shit, that was really good." Obviously, it's wishful thinking because I'm going to sit through this shit, and I clearly don't want it to be a horrible match. So, I mean, what more can I do but try to have my best thoughts in mind? But it's not just because I'm a fan of either one of these guys, because honestly, I'm really not. I used to be a fan of The Rock, but, you know. Okay. Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres versus Maria Menounos and Kelly Kelly. Who the fuck cares? All right.
Shut up!
Yeah, that's about all I have to say about this match. We're going to move on from that. You got Team Teddy. Team Teddy. Captain of Team Teddy is, that sounds so ridiculous, is Santino Marella. And then you got R-Truth, Kofi Kingston, Zack Ryder, Great Khali, and Booker T. With Hornswoggle. Like, I don't understand. What? Versus Team Johnny. David Otunga is the captain. Mark Henry. Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, The Miz, and Drew McIntyre with Vicky Guerrero. So there's like a valet per side, whatever. Another thing I really don't give a fuck about, and the sad thing here is they spent so much fucking time on Zack Ryder this year for him to be lumped into a fucking eight. Well, how many is it? Is it eight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, like 12-man fucking tag team match. Like, seriously, a 12-man tag team match he's lumped into. Now, I've never, ever been on the fucking side of Zack Ryder. I think he's garbage. But you wasted our time all motherfucking year with this guy and his woo-woo and fucking getting crippled every other week by Kane and shit. No, every week, you know, and just then now he's springing around like nothing ever happened to him. Nothing's hurting him. You know, this guy was in a fucking, like, full body cast 6 weeks ago, and now he's all good, and he's just part of Team Teddy. Like, oh, Jesus. So, you got that, and then, you know, Mark Henry, another guy who's just lumped in there that was a fucking killer. He was a straight-up killer. He was just a beast, strongman style, fucking nobody fucking with him. And let me even go back to SmackDown, because I didn't watch the whole thing, but I caught the Mark Henry versus R-Truth, and I thought that was really good. I mean, this fucking guy, if he's not looking like the world's strongest man, catching R-Truth across his chest, R-Truth's coming off the top rope. Fucking Mark Henry's catching him off the top rope across his chest like he's a Rey Mysterio, and the world's strongest slam ending the match. Like, that's a fucking feat of strength right there. He's putting his work in right now. He has become the killer that he should have been for his whole career. And he's been a crusher, and you really can't even touch what he's doing out there as a beast, as a true big man. Not that Big Show, I'm going to end it with this lazy right punch. Like, well, what is that garbage? So I don't understand, again, him being given the push to be a really dominant force again. changed that into now he's lumped into a 12-man tag team match. Dolph Ziggler, another guy who has been just tremendously pushed. He's been in there with CM Punk, put on 5-star matches with Punk. You know, when you're up against a world champion, the guy that's obviously getting the most push in the world because he's the champion, and then you get a guy that's going toe-to-toe with him and back and forth and back and forth and just a great fucking match. And you know, CM Punk comes out on top every time, but in the same token, he is showing himself as a viable main eventer. And, well, 12-man tag team match. There you go. The fucking Miz. Wasn't the Miz in, like, the main event last year of WrestleMania? And now, 12-man tag team match. Like, a lot of this shit doesn't make sense. And then in the same match, you put guys like Great Khali and like Drew McIntyre, guys who don't belong on the card. Daniel Bryan and fucking Sheamus got bumped off the fucking WrestleMania card last year to be a dark match. They're fighting for a world title this WrestleMania, and you got fucking Drew McIntyre in a match somewhere in the fucking card, and the Great Khali. And, ooh, what kind of sense does this make? That whole thing is just completely retarded to me. It's very, very difficult for me to look at that with a straight face and be like, well, that's about right. That should, yeah, 12 men? Oh, okay, good. So, I mean, yeah, that's at least 20 minutes, right? At least, like, 20 minutes we're going to get those guys. Oh, that was sweet. I just can't wait. I can't wait. Ooh, all right. Yeah. So, I just can't really understand what that's all about. I just know, like, all I could, I just envisioned this type of thing during this match. I'm going to be watching it, and kind of maybe nodding off a little bit, and I'm just going to think like this. That's something around 12. I think that almost covers everyone in the match, and honestly, I could just waste that amount on just the people that booked it, because it's really not the people's fault that are in it, because a lot of those guys are tremendously talented, so, you know. I mean, you'll have clearly a lot of people with the same type of thought on their mind, but it'd be more of a suicidal thing, similar to... But, no, don't do that, don't do that. You got tons of great wrestling on this weekend, and, you know, just watch the match and just think to yourself...
Go fuck yourself!
And then, you know, we'll move on from there. We'll figure out what's good. So, shit, all right. Well, this clearly is not... Randy Orton versus Kane. Oh, Jesus. Here we go again. Here we go again. I don't understand. Again, you take Kane, you fucking bury him for all this time because he's a super killer and he's stalking Zack Ryder, who's a fucking nobody, and he's fighting Cena and he's fighting Cena, and then Cena just gets over and buries his ass, and then, okay, now I'm supposed to worry about him fighting Randy Orton, who is, again, what has Randy Orton done this year? He's been bounced in and out of feuds all year long, and you don't even know where the fuck they're going. Maybe he was supposed to fight Wade Barrett, and Barrett ended up having an injury, so they had to figure out something to do with him. I don't even know what progress. I would say that was probably the initial plan, was to do Wade Barrett and Randy Orton. But they ended up having to do something with Kane, and it just, what can I say?
Fucking bullshit!
Yeah, has no meaning. Cody Rhodes versus The Big Show. Oh, yes. I don't, what am I supposed to do with this? Am I actually supposed to look at this and go, yeah, you know? Am I supposed to watch this? Let me just put it that way. Like, there's people, I think the price, I might be misspeaking because I never, like, actually figured it into what it would cost me, because I would never pay that much for a fucking pay-per-view, something to watch once and fucking never see it again. But I think it's like $70, something like that. What? Cody Rhodes versus The Big Show. Cody Rhodes versus The Big Show.
I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
That'll be something. great. Why not give us Cody Rhodes versus Dolph Ziggler? Or, you know, I know they're both heels, but find a way that they collided and just have a fucking awesome match. Like, why? Why do we have to do this? Oh, jeez. I don't know. Well, let's take a little positive turn. We got Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. Daniel Bryan defending his title. And, you know, I hope that shit goes off well. I hope they actually go just all out, kick the shit out of each other. Reminiscent of like a Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe match back in Ring of Honor and stuff like that. Like big, strong guy versus Daniel Bryan's technical prowess and Daniel Bryan can strike. And, you know, it'd be a whole lot of good stuff there that they can do. And we're just hoping that they do and they don't give, which is weird, but there is still an option of kind of a quick squash where Sheamus just takes that belt from the guy, Daniel Bryan, who has been playing the cowardly heel and running away from competitors and that type of stuff, and now he gets his hands on him, and I just hope they make a good match out of it. I really, really do. So, yeah, that's that there. And then you got CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. I mean, they really went like a stupid angle in the past couple weeks because they're going with, you know, everybody in CM Punk's family are drug addicts and drunks and this and that. And it's unneeded because I think they had it built up enough already. And on top of that, they really, their reputations are enough to speak this match's volumes, I think. I don't know if I put that right, but I think you just put those two names on paper and enough people are going, oh, I'm interested. Oh, okay. And, you know, you go back and forth and screw each other and do whatever you're going to do throughout the, you know, couple months leading up to it. It makes sense. But for what? For like a week before, 2 weeks before him start talking shit about the dude's family's on drugs and all that, just kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. I think the match is still probably going to steal the show. And, you know, again, no tag team titles defended on the biggest show of the year. I mean, it's just a clear slap in the face of tag team wrestling and just really makes everything look like shit because it's like, hey, look at these guys are champions and yeah, they're the tag team champions. Like, but when they take these guys off of 90% of the fucking pay-per-views and it's not a big thing and it's not focused on, how are they supposed to be continuing the legacy of tag teams? You know, the Road Warriors and, you know, all these different, you know, the Hart Foundation, the British Bulldogs, and like these guys that were in there just making the tag team division relevant, making it something that was another part of the card that wasn't just your one-on-one matchups, and it was just as important. What kind of statement do you send when year after year your tag team titles are not defended on the biggest show of the year? I think it's shit. I think it's complete shit. They need to hire somebody completely separate from whatever the booking team is to specifically write angles and book the tag team division. And then just submit what the tag team division is going to be booked like, have them review it, and then insert it into the show. Because the people who are clearly booking don't care about that. And it's kind of like a complete travesty to, you know, the tag teams, for real. That's a legitimate part of wrestling. And shit, I mean, you go to Japan, half of their fucking matches are tag team matches. Like this guy and this guy versus this guy and this guy. Okay, this guy and this guy versus this guy and this guy. And, you know, it's just like tons of tag team matches. And then you get your one-on-ones, but it's a whole lot based around that. And it works. I mean, obviously it can be overdone, but it surely is underdone in a company like WWE, who's supposed to be the leader of all wrestling. They're supposed to be better than everything else, but they dropped the whole fucking ball on tag team wrestling for a long time now, and they need to be jump-started and get this shit right. It hits a nerve with me when a certain part or class or division of wrestling just gets completely ignored. I think it's fucking ridiculous. So anyway, Triple H versus Undertaker. Well, Of course, I called this. I definitely called this well prior to, where is it? Where did I put this? Okay, yeah, this was a week or so before that, but I called it earlier before that too, but this is what I said. Well, I've said from the start, the only way that this fucking goes down is Hell in a Cell. And if they don't do Hell in a Cell on this, they're dropping the ball severely. Yeah, that's what I said, and then the next week was it.
I will face you at WrestleMania under one condition. Hell in a Cell.
Now, while I really don't give a shit about this match, of course, The Undertaker is going to retain his streak and, I believe, retire after this. And he'll be going 20-0 at WrestleMania. Everybody's saying, well, you know, well, they're either stupid and they're saying, losing his streak now, he's losing his streak. Like, dude, he didn't wrestle in this past year. You think he stuck around just to lose the following year? That's ridiculous. So, 20-0, he'll never be redone. If he goes 19-1, it tarnishes everything he's done for all these years. So, 20-0, done. Most likely, Michaels will turn on Triple H, give him the fucking, the cockeyed super kick, fucking cockeyed assailer, fucking chin music, and looking like Reggie's white uncle. And, they'll do that, and then Michaels will probably come back next year and fucking look like Big Baby from Toy Story 3 and fight Triple H in the fucking main event in Jersey, and I'll have to fucking see it live. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Well, I also caught this week, and if that match has any potential to be talked about and revered as one of the best, WrestleMania, And I don't consider this, you know, reason why it would be part of the best, but something that would have to happen to make it complete would definitely be blood. They gotta bleed. Triple H at the minimal has to bleed in this match. It's just something that's gonna have to happen in order for it to look like a war, to look like they're taking each other to their limits. There's been so many matches in WWE history where guys bled and all that, and whatever it meant for the time, it meant for the time. But, I mean, come on. You got The Rock cutting fucking promos about fucking Cena's mom and his balls and a vagina and, like, all these different things about all sorts of sexual-natured, non-PG items. So, if you're allowing all of that, you got to allow a little bit of blood, and that's it, and make it look like a war. Like, they've gone like, oh, well, I almost killed you last year. I'm going to have to fully kill you this year. Well, blood needs to be involved. Just not on a sake where I'm going to see blood and go, oh, now it's getting good. But, no, to overall accent the match and give another element to it that just people go, wow, they really, you know, people who actually believe this shit, the people who look at it and go, would they really, really fucking, you know, these two 50-year-olds really, you know. But I think that's something that's going to make it look more like a war. Okay, anyway. This past week, I came across this, as many other people did. John Morrison apparently put together a Triple H versus Undertaker battle rap, which, to me, was, you know, it sounded extremely exactly like any one of the epic rock battles of history, those joints. So that's what this is, as far as I'm concerned. That's more or less what they did. And I never knew he had this much personality. I think that was half the reason why he didn't have a job, other than Melina being a cunt to everybody in the locker room and, you know, fucking things up. But he did this, and I really think that this was pretty funny. honestly, I mean, a lot of people knocking it and this and that, but, I mean, if you watch it, watch the video itself, too. The visual is pretty hilarious. It's a funny little video. No worse than any of the epic rap battles of history. And apparently he needed something to do because he's not fucking wrestling. And we'll check this out. It's pretty funny.
I'm married to business. I do what I want to do. I'll paint your coffin green and then I'll sneeze on you.
Floodlights don't scare me.
Neither do your druids. Your joints are so bad they're leaking cartilage fluids. You can't play the game. You got the agility of Scott Steiner. You don't look so scary wearing all that guy liner. I'll stretch you out of Miami like they did in Atlanta. When you get future endeavors, say hi to Colt Cabana. You retire and come back more often than Ric Flair. You're paying alimony. I married a billionaire. At WrestleMania, I'll be the cause of your death. Then DM Lemmy for Motorhead, cause he's my BFF.
I'm the Undertaker, you'll never break my streak. Bend over, I'll make you humble like the Iron Sheik. You orange, insecure, pompous little prick. Your movies are worse than your gimmick with Katie Vick. I crawled out of my coffin through the dirt. I'll boot you so hard, Stephanie will feel the hurt. The game, Triple H, Cerebral Assassin. When you use your scary voice, I can't help from laughing. You seem pretty confident about my streak going away. Last guy who said that was your homeboy, HBK. Put some water on the dead man. Screw your pedigree. I'll make you tap like a bitch. I'll watch UFC.
UFC fan!
I'll eliminate you like Maven. Get in the Royal Rumble.
Just like Darwin in the hog pen, I'll make you crumble.
Please, I've never been accompanied in the ring by Fred Durst.
That match with the Ultimate Warrior was the worst.
Able.
You're older than that chick from Harold and Maude.
Watch your step before you tear your quad.
You're on Santa Claus's schedule working one day a year.
Get back behind your desk and start your new career.
Paperwork!
I didn't even say rest in peace. It's some of my catchphrases.
You're lucky I didn't hit you with my flawless Giant Gonzalez rhyme.
Don't make fun of Fred Durst. He's got a nice red hat.
I had a fish taco with Lemmy one time.
I like hats.
I was great in that school bus movie.
I never saw The Chaperone.
It's personal.
2012, Hell in a Cell. 2013, Punjabi Prison Match.
Oh no!
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. He did what he did. He dressed up like The Undertaker and, like, Triple H and all that stuff. And, you know, why not? Not too bad. What else do I have to talk about? I had to play that. So, yeah, he likes hats. What else do I got? Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm pretty much done. Well, I got a bunch of different things planned for the future. I shipped out probably, I want to say like 17 shirts or so, 15, 17 shirts, something like that. Some of you have gotten your shirts. Some of you have not yet. They are all in the mail. If you have not gotten them, if you've requested them, they are on their way. I know Brent got his, and Kimberly got hers, and all that, and they're shipping all over the country, so just wait on them. They're coming to you. If you are listening and you have not gotten a shirt yet, either hit me up at a show. I'm going to throw the box in the trunk, so if I'm at a show and I still got them, holler at me, and as in best of the best type joint, and definitely got a couple cats. I definitely got to get these shirts too, but you know, either I plan to give it to them on a show, or I plan to give it to them through the mail, and I haven't gotten any more of those mails yet, so if you would like one, holler at me, straight up. That's that. Spread the word. Make sure everybody, you know, out there knows Yakuza Kick Radio, be on that shit, and, you know, just spread the link around. Couldn't hurt. Just repost that shit on your Facebook, whatever. Definitely want to thank Jake Chris for coming on again. Great guest. What else? Yeah, I got a couple things planned in the future with, I'm going to do kind of a, like I had said last week, I'm going to do kind of like a guest co-host type thing. So I'm going to bring in a few wrestlers and stuff like that here and there, and I may start that soon. And I have a few people in mind, and I think it should be pretty good. You know, I have a lot of wrestlers that I've had on a lot of times, and, you know, a few that I've had on a lot of times. And rather than do another interview, I can bring them on and actually just chat about what's going on. So I'm going to do some of that stuff. It should be pretty entertaining. We'll see where we can go from there. Guests, you know, I'm always working on guests. I'm always going to keep getting guests. So I have a few ideas there, pretty big things. We'll see what happens. I'm kind of droning on at this point. It's getting ridiculous. So I'm going to have to wrap the show up. If you guys got any questions in the chat, it's pretty much Brent and Nina, so it's ridiculous. I'm not answering Nina's questions. I figure, fuck it. I'll wrap it up. We'll check you. I'll check you. Somebody will check you next Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For myself, J. Cat Morris, and previously my guest, Jake Crist, the Wired TV champion. This has been Yakuza Kick Radio. Peace.
What up? This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I have a lot of other nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, depending on what this soundbite is meant for, Yakuza Kick Fucking Radio, hosted by Jay and Eric. Eric is the quiet one who I thought was off the phone for a long time, and but then he popped back in like he's the Andy Sumner, it's a hot tag, and he popped in with amazing force and jackhammered the fuck out of me with his three questions. So, tune in next time, because fucking, Yakuza Kick Radio, something.
Oh, man. I forgot all about plugs. So, check out Wrestling Soup. Check out Pro Wrestling, PROWRASSLIN.net for all your wrestling news. And, check us out next week. Check out Yolanda. She does her shirts, gimmick tees. Peace.
What's going on with you? This is Greg Excellent, the bearded dragon of the Northeast, and you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. And if you're not, you're probably watching porn and you have this muted. But you should be listening to it. Jason Mann. Peace.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over. We're taking over. We're taking over.